Were you into avocado toast before any of your friends? Do you know how to whip up some cashew cream? And do you make your own almond milk? If so, you're our kind of person, and you might be interested in the classes at the Natural Gourmet Institute for Health and Culinary Arts, located in the heart of Manhattan. Founded in 1977, NGI is the first culinary school dedicated to healthy cooking to be accredited nationally. Their professional chef's training program is offered full and part-time, and several of our favorite chefs are alumni, including Dirt Candy's Amanda Cohen, Alyssa Wagner of Dimes, and Chloe Coscarelli of By Chloe. Visit the NGI website to learn how you can transform your life and your career.
I'm Erin Fairbanks, host of The Farm Report. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm Carrie Diamond, the co-founder and editorial director of Cherry Bomb, the indie magazine about women and food. My co-host, Claudia Wu, is on vacation today. Radio Cherry Bomb is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. Help keep HRN alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. Do it now. That's what the script says. So I'm reading the script. So do it now. But, you know, Radio Cherry Bomb, thanks to all of you out there in Radioland, is a pretty popular show here at Heritage Radio Network. So let's show that not only, you know, are you guys awesome, but you're also very, what's the word I'm looking for? Generous. Very generous. So go click, and thank you in advance for that. It's like a big party here today at Radio Cherry Bomb. The studio is very full. Roberta's is more or less as full as it always is at lunchtime. We have great guests today. I'll get to them in a second. But we are here, as always, with Gilly Houston, our editorial assistant.
Hi.
Gilly is wearing, we'll have to post a picture of this later, but Gilly is wearing the fantastic Heritage Radio Network t-shirt. Dave, DJ Dave, DJ Dave is our engineer. Can you buy the t-shirt on the website?
That's a good question. Huh. You can buy it in person for sure, but...
Okay, that's not totally helpful for
not at all.
The listeners.
I bought mine personally from Erin Fairbanks.
But you know what? Maybe we should start to sell them on cherrybomb.com.
So. And they're really cute. They're not
super
just
cute.
Like some...
Yeah, we're not just saying
lame.
That. But
I would wear it even if I had no connection with Heritage.
We'll post a picture of Gilly wearing the shirt later so you can see, and then check cherrybomb.com next week. Maybe it will be for sale.
Your check's in the mail, Gilly.
Thank you.
And then Bern, our intern, is hiding in the corner. Bern.
Hi.
Hi. She's back there. She'll talk more later. And one of the fun things about recording at Heritage Radio is we are literally based in the back of Roberta's, the pizza place in Bushwick, in two shipping containers. And there's a big window so we can see people who are eating at Roberta's. And Sierra Tischgart, our guest who we're going to talk to in a little while, sitting right across from me, looked out the window and said, "Isn't that Priya Krishna?" And we started banging on the glass, which we're really not supposed to do because there are these two nice people sitting next to the window eating. And we didn't mean to frighten them. But Priya's here.
Hi.
How the heck are you? It's been a while since you were on Radio Cherry Bomb.
I know, it has been. I was listening to that episode the other day, and I was like, I think I was 21 years old when it happened.
And now you're 100.
And now, I sound so different. I'm so hardened to reality now.
But how old are you now, 23?
I'm 24 now.
Oh my God. Oh my God. And what's changed in the time since you were on the show?
I kind of miss... I don't know. When I was on the show, I was just so, I didn't know anything. And I was so wide-eyed and just like excited for what's ahead. And it was right when my book came out. And I feel like since that book came out, I then worked on the Lucky Peach cookbooks. And now I'm working on my second cookbook. And I'm like, I'm almost like too aware of how the process works. And I wish that I could go back to the time where I was dreamy and wide-eyed and thought that you could publish a book by literally Googling how to write a book proposal, writing 50 book proposals and mailing them.
Okay, but don't burst people's bubbles out there because that's exactly what you did.
Yes, but
you just know there's an easier way now.
Yes. But I also, you know, it just, after you work on so many cookbooks, you just become, it just becomes less, it's like your bubble gets burst. But I'm really, really excited to work on another one. But
it's all worth it when it comes out.
It's more fun being the underdog, I think. Like when you're in college and you're like, maybe I could write this book. And, you know, if it doesn't happen, then no one notices.
Well, Priya, I have some great news for you. You are only 24. So I would like to think you're still sort of optimistic and bright-eyed.
I definitely still am.
Yeah.
I like to sort of move through life with blissful ignorance.
Sometimes that's the best way. Are your friends annoyed that we dragged you from the dining room into the studio? Do they think you ran out on the check?
No, I don't think so. I think they're paying.
Ooh.
So.
Okay. Oh, they're paying for you.
Yeah,
oh, got it,
that's Dan Delaney, who founded Delaney Barbecue, and that's like his right-hand woman, Nicole, and that's his ex-girlfriend.
That's modern.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They all still hang?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Just hanging, having
okay,
lunch.
Okay, cool. Sierra, you are allowed to talk at this point.
Sierra's
there, like, holding her breath.
What's
going
on?
Like,
I want to interject.
No, it's totally okay.
Sierra and I recently had tea at the garden at La Durée, which is now my favorite summer spot.
That is such a Sierra activity.
It was the classiest thing I've ever done.
That is one classy.
They hire male models as waiters, 100%.
Inattentive male models.
Yeah, I was gonna
say, they were not good.
I love everything about La Durée. The service is sometimes a little lacking back there, but I love the macarons. I love all the treats. It's the prettiest place to sit and have tea or dessert or something.
I think I was wearing this.
Yeah, you were.
That's great. A very Garden of La Durée dress.
Well, not as much a Bushwick tattooed Roberta's dress.
But I am still macaroon obsessed. I know some people just roll their eyes now about macaroons, but I still love them.
I still love them.
Yeah.
When I went to Paris for the first time, I bought a box of 9, and I just walked around the city popping them into my mouth. Every time I was, like, at a specific place, I, like, stuck into the Ritz and, like, ate a macaroon. And then I, like, walked to the, like, you know, the Champs-Élysées, and it was the best.
Well, that's the most Sierra story I've ever heard.
The challenge, one of the challenges of Paris is they really don't, they're not snackers, and they don't walk around eating food in public the same way that we do. They don't take their coffee to go. They eat at mealtime. When I used to work for a French company, I would always stay in this hotel near what I think is the best crepe stand in Paris. It's in Saint-Germain-des-Prés, right next to the Saint-Germain-des-Prés church. So I was always like, okay, how do I get this crepe and eat it without bumping into anybody I work with? You know, because a lot of them lived in the neighborhood. So I would run and get the crepe. And I always got ham, cheese, egg, and salt and pepper. It was the best thing in the world. And then I would run back to the hotel and eat it in my hotel room because I didn't want to be snagged.
Like a shame crepe.
It was a shame crepe. Yeah, exactly. Priya, what are you up to this summer?
This summer, going to a bunch of friends' weddings.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend, I'm going hiking in the White Mountains, which I think will be really fun. Probably going to Providence to eat all of the pastries at North Bakery, which is one of my favorite bakeries in America, I think. And then towards the end, I'm going to Texas to see my family, and then going to Austin to, again, eat all of the things, because I grew up in Texas never having eaten barbecue, because I grew up in a very traditional Indian household.
And vegetarian.
Yeah, vegetarian. And only a year ago did I have barbecue in Texas, and I was like, this is amazing. And people were like, you're from Texas. Shouldn't you know that already? But yes, I'm going to go and reconfirm that the barbecue in Texas is, in fact, amazing.
I've had good barbecue in Austin. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's, like, obvious. Gil, you're doing something hikey this weekend, aren't you?
I'm going camping. I don't know how much hiking will be involved. Although, I grew up in the mountains of Colorado, so I love to hike. I love to camp.
I've never seen you wear practical shoes, ever.
Well, we live in New York. What do you consider practical shoes for New York?
No. I mean practical shoes for hiking. Do you have hiking shoes?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, because we live in New York. I'm not going to, like, roll up to the Cherry Bomb office in my hiking boots. Although that's a look that a lot of people go for.
I'm just checking that you have the proper footwear for this weekend. So we are going to kick Priya out. Now, it was a lot of fun. What a nice surprise.
Yeah, this was great.
We
Thanks for having
you.
Me ever so
You can
briefly.
Sneak us back some food if you want.
It looks like there's going to be leftovers. Dan Delaney is not eating any sugar or bread or fun this
why
month.
Why
is
come
he
to Roberta's?
Is he doing
exactly?
like a Whole30?
I asked him that a lot. He ordered a sandwich with like no bread and no cheese. And yeah, it's been depressing to watch.
A sandwich with no
platter of vegetables?
I think that's called antipasto.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right, we'll give him our condolences.
I will. Thanks for having me.
All right, good to see you. We'll see you around the hood. Bye, Priya. We can sit here in silence as Priya walks out, or we can do the stuff that we are supposed to do, which is thank our sponsors. All right, let's see. Okay, before we get to the rest of today's show, let's thank the sponsors who keep Radio Cherry Bomb on the air. Baldor Specialty Foods, which curates and delivers the best and freshest food in the world to the restaurant and hospitality industries. Prince Street, the new fresh podcast with a culinary heart from Dean and DeLuca. And the Natural Gourmet Institute for Health and Culinary Arts, where you can start your journey to becoming a natural food chef today. So today's first guest, well, I guess technically that maybe was Priya, but today's second guest would be the one and only Arianna Huffington. I visited Huffington Post headquarters in Manhattan yesterday and sat down with the founder, author, and power babe to talk about her new book, The Sleep Revolution. Gilly, who's here in the studio with us, she came to HuffPo with me yesterday, and I have to say, Arianna was pretty badass, wasn't she?
She definitely was. I mean, I wasn't really anticipating anything else, so I'm glad she lived up to my
expectations.
She's just like insanely poised and confident, and she's one of those people who, even though you know she meets 4,000 people a day, she makes you feel like, oh, I'm so happy to be meeting you,
right?
And I'm so excited about what you're working on. And you're like, me, little old me, Arianna.
She does. It's really amazing. I sort of described it as she wraps you in this big Arianna blanket.
Totally.
And then there's that voice.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it all starts with the voice.
I tried to describe this to Bern yesterday, and I'm pretty sure she thought I was kind of mental, but I told her, I said, wait till the radio show. She is the most unique, like, lulling, just transfixing voice like I've ever heard, probably.
The New York Times called it her purring, sing-songy Greek accent. I don't even know if that does justice.
I feel like that's accurate.
It's accurate, too. True, but there's more to it. We learned that Arianna does not like to cook. We'll hear more about that. But I would imagine, because of all the things we just said, she is a great hostess. And
we know
she's a major boss lady. Forbes named her the 52nd most powerful woman in the world.
Not too shabby.
Nope. She's been a real force in media and politics for years. You know, Gilly, you, because you are young, didn't know she'd run for governor of California, right?
I didn't.
Did you know that, Sierra?
Yes.
Yes. She was an independent candidate for governor in 2003. There is no denying she has an impressive resume. I've been reading her book, The Sleep Revolution, all week, and it's a fascinating look at a part of life many of us take for granted. I used to sleep very well, but the older I get, I find the harder it is. I wake up a lot.
I break all the rules. I have my phone by my bed. Uh-oh. I do everything you're not supposed to.
Same. I'm the world's worst. I'm a great sleeper in that I'm a really heavy sleeper, so I feel like I can get away with it, but I have the worst sleep habits.
How old are you again?
23. As of a week ago.
Oh, that's right. I'm a little bit older, but when I was your age, I slept like a total champ. I used to say I could get an Olympic medal in sleeping and napping if I needed to. Not so much anymore. But, Bern, you're a champion sleeper too, right?
Yeah, I'm sleeping on a leaky air mattress right now.
And poor Bern.
Haven't woken up a single time.
That's the most like summer internship sentence that has ever been spoken.
When I wake up, it's usually like half deflated, so I kind of feel like I'm a taco.
You poor kid. Well, it is a paid internship. We should point that out, though. She's not sleeping on an air mattress because of us. So, how about Sierra? You sleep well. You break all the rules.
Okay. I can tell that each year it gets a little harder, but I can fall asleep, but I usually wake up around 3 or 4 in the morning, and that's when I'm like, read a book, don't pull your phone out, like just lie there. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but that's the toughest part for me.
It is tough. Yeah.
Can I just give a quick shout out to someone?
Sure.
Because I Snapchatted the beginning of, and Walter Green, the ex creative director of Lucky Peach, responded and said, "Hi, Priya." So,
hi Walter.
And then he said he's tuning in. So.
Oh, hey, Walter.
Hi to Walter.
Hi, Walter. Thanks for, he probably wasn't listening. He saw it on social media, right? Yeah. We still wonder how many male listeners we
Although
have.
We had a fan yesterday at HuffPo, ran up.
Oh, that's true.
He was a guy, and he said,
one of the guys, yeah.
I'm a big fan of your magazine. And we were like, wow.
If you're a guy and you're listening, tweet, so we know that we do have a few guy listeners. So sleep is so deeply tied to our health, safety, and creativity, yet few of us think about sleep the same way we do about our diets or our exercise routines or our sex lives even. According to Ariana, we all need to have a sleep routine, and she's going to give us a few tips on how to create one. Over to Ariana. So Ariana Huffington, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb.
I'm thrilled to be here with you, and I love the magazine. I have about two of them in front of me.
Oh, thank you. Well, we love it too, obviously, but we're thrilled to be talking to you today. I've been reading The Sleep Revolution for the past week, trying not to stay up too late to read it. That's why I haven't finished it yet. And I want to know, how did The Sleep Revolution come about?
So it came about because I actually collapsed from sleep deprivation and burnout and hit my head on the way down, broke my cheekbone. And that was the beginning of my recognizing that I and millions of other people had bought into a real collective delusion that we needed to burn out to succeed. And in fact, all the new scientific findings made it clear that sleep is a performance enhancer. That if we are deciding, do I go to sleep or do I spend another half an hour clearing my inbox, go to sleep. And in the morning when you wake up, you're going to be much more efficient at clearing your inbox. You're going to be much more creative at the big things in your life. You're going to be healthier and you're going to be happier. So it's like it is a panacea, and it's available and it's free. So the reason why I've become such a sleep evangelist is that you see there is a lot of pain and suffering in the world. And we don't have a magic wand to solve all the many problems around us. But sleep is a magic wand, and everybody has access to it. There are times in our lives when it's harder. You know, if you have a newborn or if you're struggling with two or three jobs, or if you are massively jet-lagged, but it is available. And if we prioritize it, it's quite amazing how we find time for it.
I mean, my jaw dropped so many times reading the book just at the magnitude of the problem. I mean, it really affects everything. And, you know, we want to encourage people to go out and get the book, definitely. But I think everyone will be shocked if they read it to see how many things sleep deprivation impacts.
Yes. I mean, let's start with our health. It truly impacts every aspect of our health. It reduces our immune system, so it makes us more likely to get sick with the common cold or the flu, all the way to serious diseases like cancer and heart disease, because sleep deprivation makes it much harder for us to process stress. So hypertension is a result of that, and heart disease is a corollary.
A really scary one was the driving.
The driving, yes.
I mean, we talk about texting and driving so much now, and of course we still talk about drinking and driving, but I don't hear us talk much about sleeping and driving.
We are absolutely right. We launched actually a campaign against drowsy driving together with Uber. And in the
drowsy driving, that's a great name for it.
Yeah. And in the course of the campaign, we did a PSA that gave people the facts that last year 8,000 people died from drowsy driving. There are 1.2 million crashes. And while we've been much more educated about drunk driving and the numbers are going down, we still think that we can power through if we are tired. And all the evidence shows that it takes seconds of micro sleep, and it can be literally around the corner from your home when tragedy strikes.
The micro sleep thing was terrifying, when people just, with no control, just black out.
Yes. And now with ride-sharing technologies like Uber, it's so much easier to get a car to take you somewhere, not to put your life and other people's lives at risk. And, of course, the designated driver campaign, you know, having a friend drive who is not exhausted, applies here as much as with drug driving.
Absolutely. Well, since Cherry Bomb is all about food, I wanted to talk to you about the connection between food and beverage and sleep, because you devote a lot of space in the book to that.
So, first of all, let us dispel the myth of the nightcap. You know, we think, I'll have
this
a nightcap.
This is very sad, Ariana.
I know, I'm sorry. We'll give you other good things, fellow listeners.
And lady listeners.
What?
And what is
fellow and lady listeners.
Fellow. No, I didn't mean fellow in the sense of guy. I meant fellow in the sense of community. Mm-hmm. If we have a nightcap just before we go to sleep, it may kind of relax us and make it easier to fall asleep. But then halfway through the night, alcohol changes allegiances and it's going to wake us up. We're going to be dehydrated and it's going to be much harder to go back to sleep. So ideally, leave some time between drinking and going to sleep. Water is key. I mean, I try to drink an enormous amount of water early.
You're being very good. You're staying hydrated
now. I'm like constantly drinking water. Ideally, I love water with lemons, with oranges, with cucumbers, with anything you can imagine that makes it more tasteful. And I don't wait to be thirsty to drink water.
Now, you're a totally cosmopolitan babe, so I'm guessing that you're not eating dinner at 6 o'clock. So how do you deal with the late dinner time thing?
So I have incredibly boring eating habits. I love salads. You know, I actually love salads. And I don't like heavy sauces. And I don't like a lot of very spicy foods, unless it's Indian. I adore Indian cuisine, but somehow the spices are so different. So normally, I love my dinner to consist of a big salad and lots of vegetables. People joke here in the office because my lunch very often consists of steamed cauliflower with a great olive oil and lemon dressing.
So after a really tough day at HuffPo, we're not going to find you in front of the TV with a pint of Haagen-Dazs watching Charlie Rose?
No, here's the thing. I have an addictive personality. So it's easier for me to eliminate food groups than to say I'm going to have a spoonful of this fantastic ice cream. If I'm at a dinner party, it's easy for me to say no to the dessert before they put it in front of me than to say, oh, I'm going to just have a couple of bites and leave it. If I have a couple of bites, I will finish it.
So, we can certainly relate to that. So let's talk about some action plans that people can put together. What are some low-hanging fruit ideas that you have to help people just get better sleep?
Well, if you want something soothing before you go to sleep, licorice tea is fantastic because it's also sweet, even if you don't sweeten it. Lavender tea, or of course, chamomile tea. So, and having like a cup that you love. I love mugs because they're easier when it's by your bed. But having one you love, it just kind of is part of rekindling the romance with sleep. In the same way, you know, all your beautiful photographs in the magazine are part of rekindling the romance with food. What you have on your nightstand, if you like to have some fruit, if you like to have cherries in the summer, or figs, or things that are sort of sensual fruits. And if you want to have something as you're getting ready for bed, preferably before you brush your teeth, or if when you have a bath, part of my night ritual is after I turn off all my devices and charge them outside my bedroom is having a hot bath. So this could be a good time to have your tea and to have a piece of fruit. Now we're in the summer, so the fruits are delicious, you know, peaches and apricots, and it's light. It's better to avoid grapefruit or things that are very acidic, because if you have a sensitive stomach, that may affect your digestion as you're going to sleep. So make it all very soothing fruits.
The biggest takeaway for me was just having a routine.
Yes.
So I think a lot of us really, I mean, it's the whole point of your book. We just don't think about it enough and we just drag ourselves to bed.
You're absolutely right. That is, you took away the key answer to our sleep problems. Once we've prioritized it and changed our mind about its importance, then the key thing is to have a transition ritual. Because anybody who is a parent who is listening knows that we have a transition ritual for our children. We don't just drop them in bed. We give them a bath. We sing them a lullaby. We put them in their PJs. So we need a transition ritual. So mine, beyond them, turning off the electronics, taking them outside my bedroom. Did I say that? I know I did. This is like the non-negotiable one, so I like to repeat it. Having a hot bath, wearing dedicated sleep clothes. Again, something that you love, something that you that draws you. And reading physical books. You can read The Cherry Bomb in bed. Actually, that would be lovely because it's so... I mean, the photographs are so beautiful. It's not about, it's not likely to evoke your daily problems. Or
so that's the challenge. I read a lot of my books now on devices.
But,
so it's
but
back
get
to,
some books.
Back to print.
For the time before you go to sleep. I mean, how long is that going to be? I mean, my ritual is half an hour, which includes reading, which includes doing my gratitude list. But start with 10 minutes, you know, start somewhere and get some physical books and get books that have nothing to do with work or get magazines that don't make you feel, oh, my God, I could never fit into that dress or I need to lose weight, you know, don't.
Or Time Magazine.
Or things
that
are about,
the world.
You know, exactly the state of the world or the latest bombing. Get, if you're going to read a magazine, read a magazine that evokes peace and beautiful photographs and things that bring a different kind of modality into your life.
As I was reading the book, I was like, maybe my Charlie Rose routine is not the best thing in the world to do before I go to bed, especially given the state of the world today.
Yes, but also screens, you know, just for that short period before you go to sleep, are to be avoided. I mean, I have a TV in my bedroom. I just never watch it just before I go to sleep.
So, Ariana, I think we have about 2 minutes left with you. So one quick question for you. Do you cook? We all
no,
want to know.
I am,
you don't.
I am a spectacularly bad cook. The only thing I can cook is brown rice. But I'm a great cheese lover. And I married late. I married at 35, and I had children late. So I lived really on cheese. I'm a great cheese connoisseur.
So we won't be doing a dinner party story with you, but maybe we'll do a cheese party.
I'm very good at ordering food.
We haven't done that kind of dinner party story yet.
But we can do a great cheese. I mean, I love cheeses. Everything except blue cheese. I don't like blue cheese.
That makes sense.
I don't like the idea of eating mold. But I love goat cheeses, the great Parmesan cheeses.
Oh, good. We're going to have to talk more about cheese next time. So time for the Cherry Bomb speed round.
Yes.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
How do you take it?
Well, right now I'm in my bulletproof mode. I alternate. I had a camel milk mode. I like to experiment. I love my morning coffee.
Okay, we're making a list of all these follow-up things we need to talk to you about, camel milk. All of that.
Camel, right? Because
camel.
It's my accent.
Mm-hmm.
C-A-M-E-L. Not chamomile.
Camel milk. No, camel.
Like,
right.
As the, like
yes.
The animal.
Totally got that, yeah. What is in your fridge?
Oh, I live with my younger daughter, who is also an incredibly healthy eater. So lots of salads, lots of steamed vegetables that you can take out and eat at any time. Lots of good healthy dressings, you know, both with a great aged balsamic vinaigrette and with lemon and olive oil. Lots of fruit.
What is your go-to snack?
My go-to snack if I'm in the office, is goat cheese and honey-baked turkey.
Yum. And where would you like to travel to next?
I don't want to travel anywhere next.
Staycation?
I'm a big I love staycations. I love being able to stay home and do all the things I don't have time to do when I'm working and discover in a new way my neighborhood. I travel so much for work that getting on a plane to go anywhere in the world is not my idea of a vacation.
Well, Ariana, thank you so much. Hopefully everyone will start working on their sleep routines and just getting more rest. And thank you for being, you're all about girl power. We can't tell
Definitely.
You how much we appreciate that and taking the time to talk to us today.
Well, thank you for bringing something so beautiful into the world.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with Sierra Tischgart from New York Magazine.
Today's episode is brought to you by Prince Street, Dean and DeLuca's monthly podcast dedicated to the delicious and infinite connections between people and food. Each new Prince Street podcast features special guests, field reports, and meals from around the world. Editor-in-Chief Howie Kahn hosts the show, featuring segments from correspondents such as Griffin Dunn, Jay McInerney, Eden Grinspan, and Sierra Tischgart. Download Prince Street on iTunes and online at livefromprincestreet.com. Prince Street, a fresh new podcast with a culinary heart.
Our next guest definitely knows her way around the New York restaurant scene. In addition to being a ray of sunshine, Sierra Tischgart wears a number of food industry hats. I didn't write that ray of sunshine part. Gilly did, but
Thank you, Gilly. That's cheesy. I actually expected you to change that.
I completely endorse it,
but it's
though.
True.
Yes. Sierra is the senior editor of Grub Street, New York Magazine's food blog. You've seen her on CBS This Morning, interviewing some of our favorite chefs. She contributes to a variety of publications, including Cherry Bomb, and she recently started a correspondent gig on the new Prince Street podcast by Dina DeLuca. Sierra Tischgart, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Thank you.
I can't believe it took so long to get you over
this
here.
This is the best. So it smells like camp in the studio because there's so much wood, and we ate pizza. Like, I'm never leaving.
Oh, they might be disappointed to hear that at New York Magazine, but I'm sure Heritage Radio and Roberta's would be happy to have its first permanent guest.
I'm just going to get a tent in here, sleeping bag.
And you could
That's
do
all
it.
I need.
So I've known you forever, and I know a little bit about your background and where you worked before an intern, but let's tell our listeners, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Philadelphia.
And how did you wind up in New York City?
I went to school at Northwestern in Chicago, where I studied journalism, and I was always obsessed with fashion magazines. Like, whenever I could get my hands on a Vogue, it was the most exciting thing. That's what I wanted to do with my life. It's funny, Devil Wears Prada, I guess, just turned 10, and I remember that movie coming out and thinking, like, I guess I was 16, and I thought, this was the best. This is what I want to do. So while at Northwestern, I spent some time at Elle and Vogue and Teen Vogue on those various places and kind of quickly realized maybe it wasn't for me. Some of the stereotypes sort of rang true. And I spent a year at Teen Vogue and I moved to New York and I just became more and more interested in food. And I didn't really know a lot of people when I first moved to the city. I graduated a bit early and I just started going out to eat by myself. I remember sitting at Bouvette at the bar most often and thinking, I just feel transported to Paris. This is wonderful. And I started wanting to learn more and more about the chefs and the places and becoming a little bit obsessed with it.
And so how did you land that job at Grub Street? That's a big gig.
I sent a cold email to Alan Sitzma, who's my editor. And I just said, I love food. I love New York Magazine. I was fortunate enough that at Teen Vogue, they gave me a lot of responsibility. So I was writing and producing my own content. And I had a body of work. But I was shocked as anyone when they hired me.
So no food experience
at
all?
No food experience.
Wow, I had no idea.
I could just eat well.
Wow. Okay, so how did you hit the ground running?
It was challenging. I remember being in a meeting one of my first weeks and hearing all these names of chefs get thrown around, thinking like, I don't know, how do I say Wiley's last name, which I'm still never quite sure, and just feeling like so overwhelmed. I remember I pronounced foraging wrong and I was mortified.
How did you pronounce it?
This is so embarrassing. Foraging? I just made it like super fancy.
Like staging.
Yeah,
or something.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, so I didn't know much, but I just started reading everything I could, books, all the blogs, and eventually now it's been 3.5 years. So hopefully I'm farther ahead.
I'm kind of shocked to learn you had no food experience. I mean, that a lot of people look at New York Magazine like it's the Bible.
I was very aware of that when I started, and thinking, oh, wow, people are trusting what I have to say in the way that, you know, Robin, who are wonderful, two of our editors, when they say, go eat a cookie, I go eat that cookie. So I was very, that made me nervous at first. But I just sort of trusted what I like. And I think, you know, it's such a subjective field to begin with. So hopefully people agree with what I like, but I've just always tried to stick to that.
It's a subjective field that people think is objective.
Yes.
I was just talking about the influence of New York Magazine with Patrick Janelle yesterday. Some of you might know him on Instagram, a guy called Patrick. That's his handle, right?
Oh, yes.
A
guy named Patrick.
A guy named Patrick. And I was just saying, like, nothing motivates the New York audience like New York Magazine, because we've been fortunate. You guys have written about my restaurants a few times. Our fried chicken place, Wilma Jean, was just named Best Fried Chicken Sandwich in the city. And I can't even tell you how crushed we've been.
Oh, wow.
Since that came out. And we've seen that time and time again over the years. And New York Magazine is such a quality publication. You've a super duper talented editor-in-chief.
Yes.
And Adam Moss. Do you get to spend much time with him?
I don't, but I think he's wonderful.
But I'm sure his influence is felt
it is.
Throughout
and I think,
the building.
I think there's a very top-down feeling. I feel like there's a lot of autonomy on staff and people can take risks, and that comes from him.
So New York is such a hardcore restaurant city, and like we were just saying, people take it so seriously. I was speaking to some of your friendly competitors at another website that covers food, and they were telling me that a lot of restaurateurs, chef restaurateurs, take it way too seriously. And anytime they write something, even that they think is positive, they get emails from these chefs and restaurateurs, and they've actually started keeping files on some of them. Do you ever have people, your subjects, reach out to you and say like, ah?
Oh, yes. Well, I do the bulk of the interviews on Grub Street, the sit down conversations, and usually I pick people who I think are interesting and smart, and the interview, it's just a Q&A, so it's really a transcript of the conversation, and it's often that people don't like the way that they've spoken. And I get that. I'm sure I'll listen back to this and have things I would have edited. So that happens from time to time.
Do you still write all the Grub Street diets?
Yes. Yeah. I oversee that column, which is so much fun.
That's a really fun feature. What's the craziest diet? Can you remember?
Oh, I mean, Courtney Loves, which preceded me, is the best.
Which, she do you remember? I didn't read that. I don't remember reading that one.
I will send it to you. Like, she has a butler, and she's like ordering around the butler. Actually, and this is a natural Dean DeLuca connection from the podcast, but she loves Dean DeLuca and has like a cake. She goes, Paris Hilton gave me a tip to always have a fresh cake out. What? So she's like a full, beautiful cake always sitting in her kitchen. And I think she orders it from Dean DeLuca.
That's crazy.
Yes. What a life. I don't think she eats the cake.
Does she live in Soho? She must live in Soho.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, she did at the time.
That's funny.
That's one of my favorites.
So you brought up Dean DeLuca and the Prince Street podcast, which we love. They're a supporter of this season of Radio Cherry Bomb. But I've listened to all the podcasts, and I don't know if I'm the most impartial person, but I love it because a lot of my friends are on it. You're on it. Pavia Rosati's on it. Eden Grinchpan's on it. So many people we know and love. How did you get hooked up with them?
They approached me when they were first getting it off the ground, and I'd never done podcasts or radio before, and it just sounded interesting, and the group of people they put together seemed quite smart. So I said, sure. It just felt like a good new challenge.
How long's this first season?
The first season, I think, is going to be 12 episodes. It's supposed to go monthly and then through the whole year. So, yeah. if all goes to plan.
And there have been so many cool segments, like Pavia's on the... what do you call it? The people at the airport who customs people.
That was so fascinating.
Who confiscate all your food when you come back from abroad. I mean, that was great.
I'm always sneaking food.
You do. You shouldn't say that.
What came of it? So for the last Cherry Bomb issue, I wrote about Squirrel. And I met Jessica because I tried to sneak jam back. Not even sneak.
No, you can bring jam
put it
back.
Well, apparently you can't.
In your packed luggage?
In my carry-on.
Oh.
So I put jam in my carry-on, and they took it away.
Oh, that's not cheap.
Not cheap. And I was so upset. And I tweeted something like, I hope you enjoy the jam. You know, like I was very... And Jessica reached out to me afterwards, like just sent me a Twitter DM saying like, oh, I'll send you some more jam. And that's how we got to know each other and became friends.
Okay, well, good ending to that
good
story.
Ending, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can bring anything back if you put it into your checked luggage.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
I never check bags.
Anything. But not if you're coming from abroad.
Yeah.
I remember bringing an apple into Australia because I'm an idiot. And I got off the plane and I still had the apple because, I don't know, I didn't eat it on the plane and I was worried there'd be no food in Australia. I don't know why. And, they were really mad at me when I got off the plane. And, you know, you don't realize that you're not supposed to bring produce because of insects and a whole host of things. But so that's good. You're having a really fun time.
Yes.
Howie Kahn, have you and Howie become pals?
Howie's the best.
Howie is the
Howie. I'm
the
sure
head of the
listening.
Podcast. But you're really doing a great job. We've learned
Thank
about
you.
A lot of different women. Who we didn't even know about through the podcast. So that's great. So let's talk New York City, since you are the queen of the New York City dining scene. Tell us a few new places you've been to that we should check out this summer.
My favorite new spot is actually a little tea room. It's newish. It's called Tay Company. It's in the old Bonnie Slotnick cookbook space on
West
10.
You took me there.
I took you there, yes. It's just becomes more and more delightful. The owner, Elena, it's run by a husband and wife. They're the only two employees. Has tea from Taiwan. She goes to Taiwan and picks the tea herself. It's the most beautiful tea. And her husband makes the snacks. And he used to cook it per se. And they're just it's like a perfect Spanish tortilla. Everything is so beautifully done. And it's just my happy place.
Tell everyone the name again.
Tay Company. T-E Company.
Okay, cool. What else are you into these days?
Ooh, what else? I really like the new Perla. I'm always a little bit skeptical when restaurants are rebranding or moving. I always kind of, which you've done.
We've done that.
But it's sometimes either a big hit or maybe it's a sign that it's time to move on. And with yours, it actually was success. It was successful. But with Perla, I felt the same. They moved it from Minetta Lane to West 4th Street. And it's this big, beautiful open space, like windows opening up to the street. Great Italian pasta, super simple, pretty affordable, like everything's in the teens. So that's been my new neighborhood spot.
Give us one more.
One more. Ooh. Does it have to be new?
No, no.
Well, I've been eating so much ice cream because it's summertime. And I just did a story for New York Magazine on ice cream sundaes.
You're obsessed with ice cream.
I'm obsessed with ice cream. I eat it almost every day of my life. I ate a lot of great sundaes, but Victory Garden, which is a little goat's milk soft serve place, run by a really badass woman named Sophia, everything they do, I think, is amazing. And during the summer, they have all these crazy flavors with fruits and herbs, and it's like, if you're going to go, now is the time.
Yeah, Victory Garden is an amazing little space.
Yes.
People should really check that out. So how do you decide what to write about? Tell us about that process.
Yeah, so it's really, I mean, I'm always going around the city eating and trying things and talking to people. And unfortunately from New York Magazine, I pitch all my own stories, so it comes from me. So it's a mix of just speaking to the chefs and people I find interesting, and maybe I like to talk to people who haven't really been spoken to. I just interviewed the chef from a tiny place called Mimi on Sullivan Street, the chef Liz Johnson, who is 25, making really, really ambitious French food. Super technical. And she was young, and I just thought, you know, this place is getting a lot of critical attention, but who is the woman behind it? Everyone thinks her name's Mimi. It's not. And it was really interesting to talk to her about taking, you know, also being a chef and not being the owner. And I don't think French food is what she normally would have cooked, but now getting all this great critical attention in this space. What do you do next? Do you stay? What does she want to, you know, how does she want her career to go? She also employed her fiance and bossed him around, which I just loved.
How's that going?
She said it was going pretty well. They initially a little hard for the relationship. I also love that she wouldn't smile for the photo. She said, you can take my picture, but I'm not smiling. I said, okay, okay. So I like to, it's always nice to feel like, I didn't discover her by any means, but to shed light on someone who maybe people don't know about. And then it can also be like whatever I'm eating. I did a story on eel at New York restaurants that weren't Japanese because I was seeing it on menus like High Street on Hudson. And I love eel. Like I order it whenever I order sushi, but why don't we eat eel at other spots? Doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, but it turns out eel is super labor intensive. And like, it's just like to prepare it and just have one dish on your menu is pretty insane. And a couple places are now doing eel sandwiches and it's popping up more, but like, I won't get into it, but the process of like butchering the eels and like curing them, it takes maybe like 72 hours. So that was just like something I noticed I was eating and enjoying.
So if it's such a pain in the neck, why has it taken off?
That's interesting. I think it's become kind of a badge of honor for some of these cooks.
Sure.
Maybe to impress each other.
I totally get that. So since you snagged your job with just an email, just an amazing email, what is your advice for aspiring food writers looking to break into the industry?
So I think I was as surprised as you were when it took just an email, but I remember what they said to me was they liked that I was coming at this with a fresh perspective. You know, we were joking with Priya about being jaded, which I hope I'm not, but I'm sure I am a tiny bit. But I think seeing food and having that sense of excitement and curiosity, that's important. It's, I mean, and also having good writing skills, of course. But I think remembering, you know, I like pivoted career-wise, but it actually wasn't that huge of an adjustment once I learned the names and players and how to pronounce foraging. And so I think taking a chance, but also realizing that like enthusiasm goes a long way.
So we're going to go into the speed round because after that we have Mimi Sheraton, who's one of your favorite people.
I love Mimi, my neighbor.
We all love Mimi. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Sweet or salty?
Sweet.
I forgot to say, how do you take your tea?
Oh, with honey.
With honey, okay. Sweet or salty, what'd you say?
Sweet.
What is your favorite kitchen tool?
Ooh, my spatula.
What is in your fridge?
Ooh, lot of condiments. Eggs, about 40 ice cream sandwiches, a lot of ice cream. What else? Condiments, milk, yogurt. I think it probably covers it.
And where would you like to travel to next?
Oh, I'd love to go to Tokyo.
Oh, so would we. Great answer. Well, Sierra, we're big fans. Thank you for finally
Thank you for having me.
Making it to the show. And we will be right back with the latest installment of Mimi Sheraton's 1,000 Foods to Eat Before You Die. Beginning as Balducci's Fruit Stand in Greenwich Village 70 years ago, Baldor Specialty Foods has been curating and delivering the highest quality foods in the world to the restaurant and hospitality industries. Chefs rely on Baldor for the freshest and most seasonal ingredients, along with new and exciting items that you just can't get elsewhere. Baldor's ordering process is designed with a chef's schedule and priorities in mind to get you what you need when you need it. Baldor is the trusted resource and partner for the region's top chefs. Learn what Baldor can do for your business today at baldorfood.com.
Hi, this is Mimi Sheraton. I'm the author of 1,000 Foods to Eat Before You Die. Here's one to get you started. Mozzarella in carrozza. Inarguably the world's most sumptuous grilled cheese sandwich, mozzarella in carrozza, meaning in a carriage, did a star turn in the classic 1948 Italian film The Bicycle Thief, the Vittorio De Sica masterpiece that would win a special Academy Award. The sandwich deserves its own accolade for being one of the humblest, most dependable snacks in an Italian mother's repertoire, the standard she can rely on to appease her family's hunger on the shortest notice. Anyone who has ever been tantalized by this fried sandwich with its slightly crisp and eggy carriage of white bread enfolding an intoxicatingly rich and melting ooze of mozzarella had to empathize with the hungry boy in the movie whose father orders that treat for him in a restaurant, all the time knowing he does not have the money to pay for it. It would be hard to forget the poignant close-up of the little boy's face as he savors each mouthful of the warm, melting cheese, or the anguish on the father's face as he awaits the humiliating denouement. The mozzarella is slipped between slices of white bread that have had crusts trimmed off. The sandwich is then dipped into beaten egg and lightly dredged with flour. Naturally, methods vary. Milk can be added to the beaten egg for a lighter coating, and some dip the sandwich in flour first and then in the egg for a slightly scrambled egg effect. Most do the pan frying in olive oil, but for a more delicate result, combine the oil with unsalted butter. Lemon wedges are usually enough of a garnish, but for elegant appetizers, some restaurants add a warm, buttery meld of anchovies, capers, minced parsley, and lemon juice. A few greens would not be amiss.
Thank you, Mimi. Be sure to pick up Mimi's book, 1,000 Foods to Eat Before You Die, at your favorite indie bookstore. And thank you to our sponsors for supporting this season of Radio Cherry Bomb. Baldor Specialty Foods curates and delivers the best and freshest food to the world, in the world, to the restaurant and hospitality industries. Learn what Baldor can do for your business today at baldorfood.com. Natural Gourmet Institute for Health and Culinary Arts. Start your journey to become a natural food chef today by visiting ngihca.edu. And Prince Street, a fresh podcast with a culinary heart. For more, visit livefromprincestreet.com or download the Prince Street podcast from iTunes. Thank you for listening, everybody. You're the bomb.
I'm Cindy Ramirez, founder of lifestyle website Taste of Style and the first lady of Den Hospitality. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and the Heritage Radio Network. To subscribe or learn more about the magazine, visit cherrybomb.com. You want to know who I think is the bomb? Angela Rito from Dinner Table, our 20-seat Italian restaurant tucked behind the Garrett East. She can take down any Italian grandma in the pasta department. Trust.